Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word that we have heard. It's a familiar word, and sometimes we think we know it. We know what it means. Help us, though, to be open to the new truth that you may share with us in it, that we might better be your disciples. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Recently, I heard the story about a man who worked in a factory. Now, one of this man's jobs was to blow the factory whistle at 5 o'clock to indicate that the workday was over and all the workers could go home. Now, he walked to work each day, and he always passed this jewelry store where they had this beautiful grandfather clock in the window of the store. And every morning, he stopped and looked at it, pulled out his pocket watch, and adjusted his pocket watch to that clock. And one morning, while he walked by, the store owner was out cleaning the sidewalk. And the gentleman stopped and he set his watch and he asked the store owner, "How does your clock keep such accurate time?" And the jeweler said, "Oh, I set it every afternoon when the factory whistle blows at 5 o'clock." That could lead to problems. You know, time is a precious commodity. It's so precious that throughout history we've devised ways to keep track of it. In the beginning, I think humans just kept time by saying, okay, it's the beginning of the day, okay, the day's partly over, okay, about half the day's gone, okay, the day's almost day's over by watching the sun. Today, We have devised many numerous ways of speaking about time. I looked up, I was curious, what is the smallest unit of time that we have today? And the smallest unit is that of Planck time. It's a category used in quantum mechanics. And it is based upon how much time it takes for light to travel in a vacuum one Planck length, which is a very specific length, which is smaller than the width of a hair, human hair. And I talked it over with our resident mathematician here, and she looked at, we have different things about what's used to figure that out, the problem used to figure that out. But one I came up with is 5.39 times 10 to the minus 44th power seconds. It was named after Max Planck, who first proposed it. Now, that kind of timekeeping is useful to only to people who have the equipment to measure it, who deal in physics and other and small increments of time. Next month, time will be very important, measured in the hundredths of a second. As speed skaters go around an oval, or skiers ski downhill at the Olympics. Time is important to us because we order our lives according to it. All smartphones, you know, they carry a thing that you can put all your appointments in and put them in the right times. And then when you, whatever time you set, like an hour before, half hour before, you get this little buzz that says, okay, this is coming up, you better be ready for it. Time is also important to us when we think about needing to reflect on something. We use time to give us the opportunity to make a wise decision. And we get upset if we don't have enough time to make that decision. I'm sure that the people who listened to Paul were worried when he wrote I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. And Paul is telling them, you don't have much time here, people. You really need to decide what you're going to do, what you're going to be, in order to be ready for when the second coming happens. I find it interesting. Now, generally, for those of us who enjoy cooking, or for those of us, those of you that are very good at it, cooking is something that does not stress you out. And I think probably for most of us, it's a fairly peaceful thing to do. But add the element of time where someone says, okay, you got 5 minutes to complete your dish. And it turns into something else entirely different. All you have to do is watch shows like Chopped or any of those other competitive cooking shows where the contestants are racing the clock as they try to outcook the other cooks that they are competing against. Anytime someone says there's not much time, we get anxious. I'm sure the people that heard Paul got anxious. Sometimes, though, it works out to our advantage. In our Jonah passage, the gauntlet was laid down by God through Jonah. 40 days, Nineveh, and you will be no more. But the people heard it. And they quickly made the decision to repent, and they and Nineveh were saved. Which brings us to a passage from the Gospel of Mark. Notice how Mark tells of the call by Jesus to the new disciples. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Went a little further, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired man and followed him. Immediately. Caroline Lewis, who is a professor of preaching at Lutheran Seminary, which is an evangelical Lutheran church seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, she writes, what I'm struck by this week in the calling of the disciples, according to Mark, is not follow me, not the calling, but the immediately. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, we can rationalize the immediately all we want. They saw something in Jesus, or that's just Mark's theme. Any preacher knows that Mark loves the word immediately. And in repeating it, creates an urgency unlike that of any of the other Gospels. But what if we eschew rationality and take our cue, homiletical cue, from Mark? Something about epiphany demands immediately. It calls for urgency. Otherwise, epiphany is just more like, oh, well, that's interesting. There's really no time constraint to epiphanies when God is made manifest to us. That's what epiphany means, by the way. They happen. And we can choose to respond or not to respond. We don't have time to think about our response. We see, we hear, and we respond. Think about it. If the disciples had said, well, let me consider the idea and let me get back to you. Or James and John had consulted their father Zebedee, it's quite possible they never would have followed Jesus. Can you imagine their thoughts? Let's see, how much are we going to get paid and how are we going to eat? You know, I heard of other would-be messiahs and their followers, and it really did not end well for some of them. But Zebedee said, boys, I'm getting up in my years and I need your help with the business. How can I take care of your mother without you here to help me? If we have too much time to consider, we might not consider it. Epiphanies demand a more immediate response. Last week, I talked about God calling us to say things and do things in our daily lives. And those were epiphanies and others. And these epiphanies, sometimes we just need to do them. You know? We just need to do them. If we overthink it, we can always find a way out of it that makes pretty good sense to us. One time, I was having trouble doing something. And I said, I keep thinking about it, but I don't get it done. And this person said to me, you know, it's easier to walk your way into a new way of being than to think your way into a new way of being. What I was talking about with this person, I know I need to walk, and I keep thinking about getting out there and walking. He said, basically what he was saying, stop thinking about it. Do it. And that's so true, and yet it's so difficult. We like to be rational about the choices that we make in life. We don't want to seem to be impulsive. We worry about what may happen after the present moment. What if we are wrong about this? What will happen? But think about it. Making an immediate decision can be freeing. It can be the launching of a new journey that you never thought about going on, but becomes incredibly fulfilling as you take that journey. Yes, it can be launching yourself on a wild ride, opening yourself up to some incredible relationships and experiences with God through the Holy Spirit. And think about it. Isn't that what happened with Andrew, James, and John? They immediately followed. And they ended up working with the Messiah of the world. They ended up being wonderful disciples. It took them a little while, but they got there. And we're still talking about them today. Sometimes immediacy has its place. We human beings are big in time management. And time management also has its place. Time management is about what you want out of your day, the outcome of your day or your life or your project to be. And then you manage the time you have by planning what has to be done, when it has to be done, and how long it takes to get it done. And you start at the end and work backwards. Where do I want to get? And then work back from there. Epiphanies don't work that way. They start at the beginning and work forward. That's how we become faithful. By trusting that God knows what God is doing and will take care of us. And that, my brothers and sisters, is how we are transformed by the Spirit of God. That's how the Spirit works in the world. If we work backwards, we manage everything, God out of everything. But when we work this way, we have to trust God. That God is taking us someplace that God thinks we need to be. And that's how we're transformed. But I hope God will help us to have the courage to say yes. And to enjoy the journey. Is there enough time to decide? No, there may not be, but that's okay. That's okay, because we are held in the loving embrace of God. If we are wrong, God will forgive us. I have this thing that I say with the people who try something out. I'm going to do this. They get there and, you know, it doesn't work out the way they thought or they didn't enjoy it. I said, well, I'll at least give you an E for effort. God gives us an E for effort. We need to learn to live with God's sense of time and not the time of the factory whistle. Amen.